And for 5 years, I was a member of the Environmental Protection Administration. Agency. I left EPA because, I think you can imagine why I left EPA. As I was leaving, a friend of mine, and I was very, very bitter and critical, a friend of mine said, "Fred, don't be so harsh on our organization. Of course, EPA is bureaucratic, top-heavy, but we need to be carefully trim the wheat from the chaff, ensure that we don't kill live wood." I looked at him cynically and said, "You could swing an axe in this organization for days and never hit live wood." This is the first session of what are going to be a very exciting day and a half of lectures on what has become the new pretext for socialism. The old reds have become the new greens. You know this in your hearts. It's also true in reality. What we have seen is an ability to regroup, to restructure the issues, and very quickly find new rationales for old policies. Virginia Postrel of the Reason Foundation says, as a whole, she preferred the old reds. At least the old reds wanted to destroy human liberty for people. The new greens want to destroy human liberty for bugs and bunnies. The theme of this first panel is science policy. And again, I was at EPA and I have been critical. And as you'll hear, there are reasons to be critical of what is referred to as environmental science. But again, a friend of mine at EPA said, "Fred, again, you're too harsh on us. We believe in good science at the Environmental Protection Agency. We just aren't allowed to practice it." I'd like also to dedicate this, and I think this is a serious moment. All of you know, and it was mentioned last night by Fred Singer, Julian Simon, we lost him very recently. Julian, in many ways, devoted his whole life to this question of natural resource environmental science. He was an individual who believed that in the longer run, man's better instincts, man's ability to discern truth from fiction would win out. He won bets on that. He put his money where his mouth was. He won bets against that butterfly scientist, Paul Ehrlich. And he fought his whole life on a theme that I think you'll hear throughout the panels today and tomorrow. The Malthusian idea, incidentally repudiated by Malthus before he died, but the Malthusian idea that somehow man was off track, man was a failed experiment, man had never stopped falling since the fall, that in a way mankind suffered from a terrible twos problem. There were too many of us, we consumed too much, we relied too heavily on technology that we understand too little. And of course, their solutions, as you can imagine, are population control, consumption, affluence control, and technology control, something that I think everyone in this room is very well aware can all too easily become death, poverty, and starvation. These are the themes that have motivated these people. If you can't kill the little bastards, starve them to death, basically. Science is a tool that is essential in helping us to determine how to design policies that can make the world better. Science is a painfully developed technique that allows us to discern from what we think may be true from what probably is true. It's an imperfect technique. It doesn't allow us to see all the future or all the future as clearly as we'd like, but without it, we proceed blindly into the future. And we have problems in the environmental policy area, the environmental science area particularly, because we're trying to reach the American people with arguments as to why some of the priorities set are so badly established. But we're trying to communicate to the American people through channels that are largely controlled by those antagonistic to the freedoms, to the traditions we believe essential. The state has controlled many of the communication channels that we use to inform, to educate the American people. Government, academia, the media, the museums. Go to the Smithsonian Museum if you want to be educated on how science is a frightening thing that can make the world a terrible place. If you look at some of the great themes that have motivated us in past far of this type, acid rain, a $500 million study, a 10-year study, no problem, and we pass a multi-billion dollar acid rain control bill. Dioxin, a material found to be relatively trivial in its harm to human beings, and yet we're still running from dioxin across the country. Asbestos, which encourages us to spend money on school programs on removing asbestos rather than educating the American people. Something endorsed by the NEA, of course, the NEA isn't that not educated in America. But we basically fail to do science in these areas. We've got a tremendous problem in these areas because science is critical, and yet our ability to inform on science to date has been extremely limited. The panel we have today is a very good introduction to this theme, and some of their many publications are words that you should use as you go forth from this session and try to educate your cocktail party liberal friends. Our first speaker is Bruce Ames. Bruce is academic extraordinaire at the University of California in Berkeley, a voice of wisdom there. He's a professor of biochemistry and molecular biology. His rewards go on forever. I think his most notable achievement, at least from those of us who've been in this field for so long, is that Bruce is one of the scientists who has one foot firmly planted in the hard discipline of science, and yet is spending a large amount of his time trying to explain what science does and doesn't tell us about what are the things that cause us to live longer and shorter lives, and that will be the theme that Bruce will be talking us about today. A personal note, too, Bruce's wife is Italian, and some of you have noticed I'm on the Mediterranean diet, so I would encourage us all to listen closely to what Bruce has to say. Bruce?